listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. It's time for Food Friday, and with Easter coming up this weekend, we thought that it would be a good time to think about some culinary ways to celebrate. And we'd like to hear from you. If you celebrate Easter, what are some of your favorite dishes that you look forward to? Do you have a favorite meal to make for friends and family? And if so, what is it? And why do you love it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And you probably notice that Irish music. And that's because we're joined now by chef and TV food personality Clodagh McKenna. Her latest book is called Clodagh's Irish Kitchen, and she's here to tell us about Irish cuisine and to offer up some culinary ideas to help us celebrate Easter. Clodagh, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, happy Easter.
Happy almost Easter to you. And your new book, as we said, is Clodagh's Irish Kitchen. It's full of modern takes on traditional Irish cooking. And so, first of all, let's talk about that traditional cooking. What are some of those traditional Irish dishes?
Well, I wanted to... I mean, I love Ireland and I love Irish cooking, and I really wanted to kind of look back at older traditional dishes like, you know, soda bread or like, you know, bacon and cabbage, or, you know, even, you know, different porter cakes, and see how I could put, you know, my fresh twist on it or my clean, you know, kind of make it more contemporary and make it the flavor more modern. I guess like with my soda bread, I do really lovely white soda breads now with chorizo in them. Like with my, and then the bacon and cabbage, I do a gorgeous bacon and cabbage soup. I do a Kilcannon soup. There's a Guinness cake. Yeah, there's lots of delicious recipes in there.
And so when you're talking about putting modern spins on more traditional dishes, whether it's in Irish cooking or in other cuisines, what do you think it is that kind of brings those old tried and true dishes up until the present day?
Well, for me, I grew up with them. So that means that like those recipes have a soft spot in me, you know, like they... Mm-hmm. When I cook them, I feel really good. It feels very good for my soul when I cook, you know, Irish traditional dishes because I'm Irish. And I wanted to kind of make people feel that way too. You know, I mean, there's so many people who have Irish heritage and that, you know, would have visited Ireland or, you know, have a relative that might have been from Ireland or something. And it's, I think cooking Irish food is just a wonderful way to really connect with your culture, you know, and keeping those Irish traditional dishes because they are really good, hearty dishes. I mean, we do soul food really, really well in Ireland. But I guess my recipes are just a little bit lighter. So, you know, I don't like eating heavy food, mm-hmm. but I do love comfort food as well. So that my book is a bit of a mix of comfort food, but also quite light dishes as well.
I think it's interesting because pretty much any cuisine, when you look back at recipes and how things were prepared decades ago, people were doing a lot more manual labor and life was not quite as easy as a mouse click away to do almost everything. And so lightening them up is also kind of a response to how we live now.
Well, yes, exactly. And we also crave, you know, different types of flavors. Like I've got this really lovely recipe for ice cream and I do it with soda bread. It's a soda bread ice cream with Baileys. And basically, you don't need an ice cream maker to make it. You just pop it straight into the freezer. And you make up, you know, your custard base, you know, with the milk and the eggs and the sugar. So super simple. And then with the soda bread, I crumble all the soda bread with brown sugar, like sprinkled on top, into the oven until they're like little crispy nuggets. I fold that through the custard mix I've made, some Baileys in there, into the freezer. I take it out every hour or so, stir it around, and hey-ho, you've got the most fantastic ice cream. I made it on the Rachel Ray Show, this program that I do quite a lot. And she said it was one of the best ice creams she'd ever had.
It sounds delicious.
It really is. So good.
So often when we talk about the cuisine of a particular country or maybe a particular region, when we kind of boil down what we're talking about, there are a few flavors or ingredients, maybe spices or seasonings that really evoke that particular cuisine. Are there some of those really Irish flavors that when you taste it, you automatically think Ireland?
Yeah, for me there are. There's, you know, like smoked salmon, I think, for me, potato, definitely leeks and cabbage and all those root vegetables. And then soda bread. I mean, soda bread for me is quintessential Ireland for me. And lamb. I love lamb. What else? Black pudding, bacon chops. They're kind of cheese as well. All different, like, lovely, fresh kind of goat cheeses and, yeah, those things. I like cooking with stout as well. Like, I like putting a bit of stout in my cooking. I also like drinking stout, like my Guinness. But I like cooking with stout as well. And that taste would definitely be Irish for me. Like, I love cooking. I love cooking my beef stew. I have a gorgeous recipe on my website for a beef stew with Guinness. Mm. And I put mushrooms and shallots in it, and I cook it for about 2 or 3 hours, slow cooking. It's not, you know, not my time. I just let it simmer away in the oven in a very low heat. And I love cooking with stout with that because it adds a lovely kind of caramel flavor to it. It really enriches the stew.
So Ireland is surrounded by ocean, and you mentioned smoked salmon, but other than that, is fish a large part of Irish cuisine?
It is. I mean, I grew up in a home where fish was a big part of our cooking and our family because my grandpop was a fisherman and so was my uncle. And everybody in Ireland is related somehow to a fisherman. And definitely, I think we went through a phase, or Ireland went through a phase, where we didn't appreciate so much the fish that we have. And I think that's changing now, definitely, over the past 10 years. People have definitely turned towards the sea and, you know, are learning to cook better with fish. I mean, our prawns, the Dublin Bay prawns, are fantastic. I cooked them the other day in just a tiny bit of gin, just a splash of gin, because it's so good with it. You don't have to put in gin. Tomatoes, chili, and then just put it all through tagliatelle, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. Tonight, because it's Good Friday here, and all my family, I don't know if you can hear them in the background, our house is packed, because all my family are here, and we're all cooking fish. So my sister actually got beautiful fresh fish in Kerry that was caught today, and we've got plates, so we're just going to, you know, because it was caught today, we're just going to lightly flour it and then fry it off in beautiful salted Irish butter, and then maybe a little bit of herb on top, and we'll be having that with my mom's creamy mashed potato and some vegetables, and then we're having a big apple crumble afterwards.
Well, we do have Kenneth in Janesville on the line, so let's go to the phones. Hi, Kenneth.
I was wondering if you knew, is soda bread a comfort food?
Well, I mean, I think of it as being a comfort food, just because it's something that I grew up with. And when I bake my soda bread, which I do about twice a week at home, it's my, you know, it's my staple bread at home. It's a very comforting feeling. Does that answer the question?
We can only get it around St. Patrick's Day, and you know, the day after St. Patrick's, mm-hmm. It's gone.
Oh, you should make it, Kenneth. Is this Kenneth on the phone, did
yes.
you say? Hi, Kenneth.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
And,
you should make it. It's so easy to make it.
Yeah, it's not very complicated, is it, Clodagh?
No, Kenneth, all you need is plain flour, wholemeal flour, and then you mix them together, and then you just need to get bicarbonate of soda or baking soda. Which you can get in all the stores in the States. And then you just add in buttermilk, mix it around, and literally pat it down, and it goes in. You can, if you want to see me making it, I did make it on the Rachel Ray Show, so you could go onto her website. Or if you just want the recipe, you can go onto my website, clodaghmckenna.com, and the recipe is up in my recipe page, and you can just, you know, write it down. But it's so easy. I hope you make it, Kenna, because it's one of the easiest breads to make.
Well, I'm actually tempted to make it because it reminded me of how good it is, Clodagh. And so clodaghmckenna.com, it's C-L-O-D-A-G-H-M-C-K-E-N-N-A, correct?
That's it.
All right. Well, we are talking with Irish chef Clodagh McKenna about how to celebrate Easter with modern takes on traditional Irish food. When we come back in just a bit, we are going to get her recipe for Irish breakfast tortilla. And we'd like to hear from you. Does your family have special Easter traditions that you look forward to? Are they linked to your ethnic heritage? Maybe this conversation has you interested in Irish cooking. Clodagh is happy to offer advice and inspiration for a great Irish-themed meal. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're talking with Chef Clodagh McKenna. Her latest book is called Clodagh's Irish Kitchen, and it offers up a modern take on traditional Irish cuisine. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite dishes to serve up around Easter? Do you have Easter food traditions that come from your family's ethnic heritage? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Now, Clodagh, we've been talking around Easter, but we haven't actually gotten into it. And as you said, you have a house full of people getting ready. So let's say we're hosting some friends or family for an Easter feast. What are some Irish dishes that you think would appeal to a broad number of people?
Well, do you make hot cross buns? You do, don't you, in America?
We do, yes. Well, I should say, being Americans, most of us buy hot cross buns instead of making them. I personally have a fear of yeast that I'm trying to get over. But yes, we do have them here.
Well, I think to start off with, I mean, usually for Easter Sunday now, we'll be doing a nice soup to begin with. So because it's this time of year, I'm going to do a pea and smoked bacon soup, which is that gorgeous, vibrant green and, you know, it's so spring-like, and that's just a base of onion and potato, equal quantities, a little bit of garlic, you know, your stock in there, and then get some peas. Frozen peas are absolutely perfect to use in this because frozen peas are the best kind of frozen vegetable you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, blitz it straight away with some fresh nutmeg is brilliant in there. It's a nice little tip. And some cream, and then crisp up some smoked bacon, and then crumble it on top before you're serving it. For main course, we always, and it's a massive tradition in Ireland, we always have roast lamb at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, at Easter time. I mean, every table in Ireland will have roast lamb. I'll be studding my roast lamb with garlic and rosemary. And then I'll be serving them then with my kind of roasty potatoes, which I do with sea salt and rosemary.
Mm.
So I'll steam off the potatoes, peel them, steam them off, and then put the frying pan over my hob, and then put a little bit of butter and oil in there and sea salt and rosemary, and then just keep tossing the potatoes in them so they get lovely and kind of golden on the outside and get the rosemary and sea salt on them. And I was actually, you know, while the news was going on, I was just discussing dessert with my mom, funny enough, because she came in and she brought my book in. And she was looking at dessert, it was so funny. And we said, she's standing in front of me, we said, I was thinking, oh, we'll make the bread and butter pudding. And then my mom was saying, oh, no, it has to be something light, like we were talking about earlier.
Oh, right.
Because we always do a big light pudding after lamb, don't we, Mom? So, we're going to do a big meringue, pavlova. So, you know, nice one that's kind of crisp on the outside but soft on the inside, and then lovely whipped cream, and then rhubarb, because rhubarb is in season at the moment. So we'll roast up some rhubarb with a little bit of ginger, and then usually when I roast up the rhubarb with a bit of ginger, I strain off the juice and make a little sugar syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep that nice and thick. So just before, when people are having their pavlova with whipped cream and rhubarb, the syrup is there just to pour over. Yeah, yum.
We're all drooling here at the thought of it.
I'm starving.
I want to go back to the lamb. So do you do a leg of lamb for Easter? I mean, it's a big piece of meat, but assuming that we're going to have lots of people over, that might be a great occasion to do it.
Oh, yeah, full leg of lamb. I mean, it's tradition in our house, and my mom has made it a tradition in our house for years. We always have. And my mother's here chatting in front of me, making sure I tell you the right thing.
Well, tell her we appreciate her support.
It's a mountain lamb, she's saying.
Oh,
that's
all right.
What we have in our house. And it's beautiful. And it, exactly, and it's the herbs that grow on the mountains that make the Kerry lamb taste so good. Oh. And she's completely right. It's wild there, and the pastures are beautiful. We're really lucky. Yeah, we're really lucky. We get it from a local butcher. I think it's good to support your butchers mm-hmm. if you can. And that's how we have it. And it's great because then the days afterwards, it's so lovely to have that roast lamb cold with mm-hmm. on soda bread.
Oh, you really are making us hungry. Well, let's talk about a recipe that we're featuring from your new book, Clodagh's Irish Kitchen. We have this up on the Central Time Facebook page. It's the Irish breakfast tortilla. And so tortilla, often here in the U.S., when we think of tortilla, we think of what you wrap around a burrito, more the Mexican kind of just a flour tortilla. But this is like a Spanish tortilla with the eggs and the potatoes.
Yeah, this is a Spanish tortilla. It's like a baked egg. It turns out like looking like a cake. That's mm-hmm. what I can describe it as, like a visual description of it. It's so easy to make. When you have a lot of people around for breakfast, I think anything more than, you know, two or three, this is a brilliant recipe because you whisk up all your eggs and then you get, you know, your skillet pan or your frying pan. It needs to be kind of a deepish, so, you know, about like 3 inches deep. And then you've got your potatoes. So you peel your potatoes and then chop them up into small little pieces. And you've got your sausages, smoked bacon, cherry tomatoes. And then what you do is you add your, you put your onions in first and you get your potatoes in there. And you cook the onions in the potatoes and a little bit of oil in your skillet pan, you know, for about 10 minutes. And then you add in, you whisk up your eggs then, add in your eggs. And then you say, cook the bacon and the sausage separately. And then you slice them up and add them in as well. So in the mix we've got going already is the potato, the onion, the bacon, the sausage, all in this egg mixture. And then you've got your tomatoes that you're going to slice in half, cherry tomatoes, sprinkle them around on the top of it. And then you could put in a little bit of herb if you wanted to. You could put in flat leaf parsley or Italian parsley or thyme. And then that goes into the oven. And then one thing I forgot to say is at the very beginning, you grease the skillet pan properly so it mm-hmm. doesn't stick. Pop it into the oven, and then you take it out when you're ready to serve it or when it's cooked, and then you just flip it over. So you basically put a plate on top of the pan, you turn it over, and then take the plate, the pan up, and you've got this beautiful cake, and it's a full Irish breakfast. But sliceable. So you slice mm-hmm. it up then, and everybody has a lovely slice of it, and you can have your nice chutneys with it or your ketchup or whatever.
It also sounds like something that it would be great right out of the oven, but if it was a little, if it came more to room temperature, it sounds like it would be fine then too.
Absolutely. You could have it cold and slice it thinly and put it on a piece of bread with a little bit of aioli or mayonnaise on top.
And is, gorgeous. And is that something, it sounds like, because you'd get a little crispiness to it, is that something that a cast iron skillet would be really nice for?
Oh, perfect. Absolutely. Cast iron skillet would be, perfect for that. And it's fun. It looks lovely. I mean, I think it's lovely. I think anything that you can do in convivial, that makes the table more convivial, it makes everybody more relaxed, doesn't it? And it's easier to cook, so you're more relaxed. It'll probably taste better because you have one pan to concentrate on, mm-hmm. so you're putting all your energy into it. People feel more relaxed when they're sitting around the table because it's not so formal. And it's a little bit of fun, you know, everybody's sharing. And, you know, if there's any, you know, arguments going on in the house, it usually, you know, it usually stops them.
Well, and I have to say anything that has both bacon and sausage in it, I'm a fan.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Clodagh, you mentioned a convivial table, and your new book also has a section dedicated to table decorating. What kind of decorations would you maybe be having on your Easter table?
Well, I love tablescaping. It's been like a passion of mine for, I think, since I was probably about 13. I just love doing up a table. And so for Easter, I love doing an Easter sprig tree. So what you could do is you could do pussy willow branches mm-hmm. or cherry blossom branches, which are beautiful kind of start to it. And then if you can get your hands on, I think like all the stores have them now. They're like, you know, the little eggs, but they're like paper eggs or ceramic mm-hmm. eggs and they come in string and you can just hang them off all the branches, which looks instantly gorgeous. The other thing I like to do is to get egg cups and fill the egg cups um, and fill fill the egg up with, so you get an egg and you kind of cut off the top of the egg. You empty out the, so you're cutting off the top of the shell, you're emptying out the inside of the egg, and you just clean it out. You pop that onto the into the egg cup and then fill it with flowers. And you can do a few of those around your table, which looks really, really cute as well. And I think lovely flowers. I think, you know, lovely spring flowers like daffodils, just look gorgeous. They'll just make it, everything look so Eastery and spring-like, don't they?
Well, Clodagh, I wish I was coming to your Easter feast because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. I hope you have a gorgeous Easter.
Thank you. Clodagh, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure.
Clodagh McKenna is a chef, TV host, and author of Clodagh's Irish Kitchen, and you can find her delicious-sounding recipe for an Irish breakfast tortilla on the Central Time Facebook page.